Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
This series is called Blessed. And the word blessed, we're getting that from Scripture. And we believe that blessed also, it's the word happy. And so there's a thing called the Beatitudes in Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, probably the most important message ever preached was any message that Jesus preached. But he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he preached this message out of Matthew chapter 5. And he says, hey guys, I'm going to tell you what blessed looks like. If you want to know what blessed looks like, I'm going to tell you. And what he doesn't do is goes, blessed if you have a 401k, or blessed if you have a nice house, and blessed if you have a good job, and blessed if you got the relationship that you want, or blessed if you finally got a boyfriend, or if you finally got a girlfriend, or blessed as if you get the promotion. None of the worldly things that we see as blessed, Jesus doesn't spell that out. He has a whole new level of what it means to be blessed. And he's preaching to a bunch of people who don't have a lot, and they're thinking, blessed is the people who have all the stuff. And he goes, no, it's not that. And he begins to unpack what it means to actually be blessed. I don't know about you today, but most of y'all in the room in here today, you probably don't read the fine print. You probably don't read the fine print, but I believe the Beatitudes is one of those fine print type moments where if you read it, sometimes there's something good in the fine print. Not a lot, or unless you're in trouble. Then you're like, okay, there's a fine print. I know all you lawyers in here say the fine print's important. Like, you're like, we have to go and check all of those lines. And we want to make sure all those lines and that phrase, make sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. And so with the salvation, there comes all this fine print, and it's all this blessing, and it's all the definitions, and it's all the things that come with what we need. And the more we're in church and the more we open up the Bible, the more we pray, the more we can begin to understand all the fine print. And there's so much stuff that comes with being a follower of Jesus. And unfortunately, it makes my heart so sad because we know it. We finally have read it. We finally have seen it. But we're like, yeah, the world's definition looks better. Somehow that it looks better, it feels better, so I'm gonna go with that. And so it's our prayer, and it's my desire to beg you over the next week. This isn't our typical 4-week series. We got 8 weeks on this. Because I really want us to walk out and go, I want to be blessed according to God, not according to the world. And if all those things are not bad, the houses and the cars, all those things, they're not really blessings. I used this phrase last week, they're not really blessings. They're gifts, because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. I believe that God calls those things are called gifts. Gifts, not gifts, not gifts, but gifts, G-I-F-T-S. Those are gifts from God. We use the word blessing so flippantly. And so we got to call it what it is, and we have to look at this scripture, and we have to call blessed what God calls blessed. So week one, we looked at poor in spirit. Having the right kind of spirit matters. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, if my spirit's good, I'm going to be okay? But if your spirit is bad, you're like, I ain't going to be good. I told this group of young people this week, people call me all the time. When people call me, they usually call me on the worst day of their life. And when they walk in their room, I can just tell how the meeting's going to go based on the spirit. I already know the situation's bad, but I'm trying to gauge the spirit. I'm trying to like, is there a learning kind of spirit? Is there a teachable kind of spirit? We have all of our staff read a book called The Key to Everything, and the key to everything is the word teachable. And so last night, the best thing happened, such a cool thing happened last night, happened a little bit on Friday, and then happened, the culmination I feel like was getting closer to on Sunday night. But on Friday, Tripp got out of school early, which I do not know how these kids get out of school all the time. They should stay all the time. I want them to go to school when it's a teacher work day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, let them stay. My kids have mastered the art of getting out of school. They're like, Dad, I just felt like it was a good mental health day, Dad. Like, they got, and Dinah's a sucker for it. She says yes all the time. I say no all the time. So they quit asking me. They're smart. But he walked out with a book, and I'm like, oh, you got a book out of the office. We have a little library in here, and eventually we're going to share it with you guys. Then he got the book. I didn't know a book he bought. But last night, I walked out, Dinah and I were in the room talking, and we had set up, we had dinner, and then we went home, and he's reading a book. He's like, got a book from the bookshelf. I'm like, what book is it? He's like, it's called The Key to Everything. And he said, Dad, I want to let you know the key to everything is teachability. If you're teachable, Dad, it's a lot. So I'm like, no big deal. So I walk back in the room, I talk to Diane. He comes down, I'm like, hey, bud, it's bedtime. He's like, I got like two more chapters of the, is it called the preface? Preface? I didn't know you had to read that, so I don't know what it's called. Fair. But I want to let you guys know I've come a long way. I do read it now, but the first, I don't know, first five books of my life, I don't know. Most of the books I never read, I'm like, what a waste of time. Let's jump right in, give me the good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Nobody wants the appetizer. Everybody wants the main course. Unless you're a savage, you want the dessert, I don't know. But he's like, so we get out of it, last night, I walked out of the room, he's like, Dad, this book is actually pretty good. He's 13. I go, if you get this book at 13, I'm going to like you for the rest of your life. Because there are seasons in my life where my parents didn't like me. Most people didn't like me because I didn't have a teachable spirit. So week one was poor in spirit. Last week, we looked at morning, not a.m., but morning. How do you handle grief? And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, like, for they're going to be comforted. And then say, blessed are those who cope the way the world copes. Blessed are those who, you know, whatever. The Bible says that we're called to be sober-minded and we're supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, blessed are those who mourn healthily. We have to learn as if you want to be blessed, you have to learn how to mourn. How to go, wow, that hurts. God, what are you teaching me, God? Hey, God, can you help me? Hey, this pain is painful, God. That's why it's called pain. God, can you help me, God? I need you. Because if you go to God with your pain, the Bible says you'll be comforted. And then the Bible says in Psalms, David says he actually can turn your mourning into dancing. I don't know about you, but that sounds awesome. And that doesn't matter if you're black or you're white or if you're Latin. Everybody gets to turn their mourning into dancing, whether it's good or bad. I don't know, but we all get to our mourning. He turns our mourning into dancing. And today, we're going to look at verse 5 of the Beatitude, and we're going to look at verse 3, and it says this, and I'll unpack it for us. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the word meek, you just kind of keep on flying, and you keep on going by that, and that's really not a big deal, because you're like, I don't know what meek is. And so you're like, there's not a lot of weight with the word meek there, okay? But I wrote it down this way. Meekness is being humble and gentle towards others and willingly being submissive and obedient to the Lord. Are you meek? And I wrote down in my notes, a lot of notes for this series. I wrote down the question, are you meek? Maybe you have the first part, but do you have the second part? Because it says if you're humble, and are you humble and are you gentle toward others and willingly being submissive and obedient to the Lord? And I know some people that are humble, but they're not submissive and obedient to the Lord. And I know some people that are trying to be submissive and obedient to the Lord, but they are not gentle toward other people. And if we're honest in here today, we don't see a lot of gentleness toward other people in our society. And so that word humble there is a word I know well. I haven't mastered this one. Dinah has asked me more about this message than she's asked me about a lot of messages almost combined. And I kept on going, I'm not ready yet. Well, I'm not ready yet. Well, I'm not ready yet. And I was on the front row and I'm like, why aren't I ready yet? Last night she finally asked me again, are you ready? I'm like, yep. Or maybe it was this one. I was like, yep. Still wasn't ready. And I realized I realized this is probably the one, humility is probably the one that I have worked on / struggled with the most. And some of you are like, yeah, I can see that. And I was in the front row going, oh my gosh, this is why. Because this one is the one I have to work on. I've people that I get close with or that I'm in circles with or if I'm in community with or if I'm working on this one. I actually was in an assessment. We did an assessment. We teach our team. We want to hire humble people and hungry people and smart people. And Patrick Lencioni has this thing. He's a business leader, but he has a teaching on this hungry, humble, smart. And we give our team books about all these things. And I took the assessment. And Steve, you remember that assessment? And Steve and Debbie were at the assessment. And we were going out of the room guessing which one the people in the room their people struggle the most with. And Steve, bless his heart, I love him. He goes, I know which one is your weakness, Pastor Wes. And I'm like, which one, Steve? He said, it's the humility one. I was like, and I was so thankful. I have had so many people in my life. Probably this is a reoccurring Holy Spirit working on me beatitude in most of my life. I was 25. You guys have heard me tell the story before. I was 25 years old, and my boss called me into his office, and he said, hey, just have a seat, and which I was used to it because I always got in trouble. Every staff meeting, I got in trouble. I always had the meeting after the meeting. That's what we call it. Some of you younger people are going, this is my guy. This is my guy. I always had the meeting after the meeting. And so this time I sat down to my boss, who I surrendered to ministry at when I was 15 years old. Fast forward, I'm 25 years old, and I'm in his office. He turns around, and there was a phone back in the day. This was pre-cell phones. And he took out a phone and put on speakerphone, and he dialed my youth pastor. And he said, hey, Craig. He's like, it's Ed here. I got Wes in the room here, too. And then I started getting suspicious. I'm like, this is not good. Because now we're introducing everybody like we don't know each other, you know? And he's like, hey, I got Wes in the room. And he goes, Craig. And Craig and Ed are best friends. Both have been my mentors since I was 15 years old. Ed said to Craig, he goes, did you know Wes knows everything? I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. They got me. And I was 25 years old, and I was like, dang it. It was like God began to work. He began to say, hey, you're not humble. Like, try some meekness. Like, you're obedient, but you're not humble. You need to get this right. So I'm 25, 30 years old, and I realize I got to work on humility. I have to work on humility. Like, Wes, work on humility and meekness. I'm just drilling it in my head. And so I started getting a few people. I got some momentum on this thing. And the reason I got momentum, I knew, because people were going, man, you're pretty humble. And I realized the people that said I was humble, I realized because I was going, be humble. In my internal, the tape inside, because that's how old I am, I'm pre-CDs. But the tape inside was going, be humble, be humble, be humble. And when I walk into place, I'd go, be humble, be humble. And I was trying to train myself to be humble. And I realized I was not doing a good job at it because I'm on a Zoom call. And now I'm fast forward, I'm 38-ish. 37, 36, around that age. And I'm on a Zoom call, and I'm in a thing called a brotherhood. It's a bunch of pastors, and we just spur each other on. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen the counsel of his friend. And so I'm in this room with these guys, and we're talking through, and we're talking about ministry and all these things, and I'm like, go be humble, be humble. But I'm like playing it cool. I'm like, don't talk too much. Because this day, my one of our overseers was in the room, but his boss was in the room. Pastor Matt, who's one of our pastors, and I got done with the end of the Zoom call. I thought I nailed it. I'm like, Pastor Matt likes me, like I did a good job. Pastor Dan likes me. Pastor Matt likes me. I did a good job. Not humble, because it's not about me. Humility says it's not about me. It's about God. And so I'm realizing, like, I nailed it. So I got a text from Pastor Matt, who's in charge of all of it. He said, "Hey, bro, so glad to meet you on the call." He's like, "I want to recommend a book to you." And I'm like, automatically, guys, I'm like, Pastor Matt wants to recommend a book to me because I'm the man. That's why he wants to recommend a book to me, because I'm freaking awesome. He wants to see me become a top leader in this organization because I'm the man. He sends me the book title, Humility. I was so embarrassed. So I blocked his number. I'm like, I don't need you. I don't need this, get behind me, Satan. I don't need this negativity in my life. So I've worked on this thing. I'm trying to work on it. I'm not here today to stand. I'm not standing up here today as an expert matter in humility, because I know better now. 25-year-old, I'd be like, I'm an expert in this, guys, watch. 35-year-old, got this. Not an expert matter. And so I think there's signs where you're getting better. And so now I was in a group in this organization where I was learning, and I was the guy there, just kind of like in the group. But I guess I've got a little bit better, because now I'm a group leader, and now I recommend the book to people called Humility. I'm now recommending the book. But from the very beginning of time, we've struggled with this. People struggle with this. People have struggled with making it about them instead of making it about God. Because people who are blessed, they make it about God. They don't make it about them. We all do that. It's sad. I hate to say it. I hate to keep on bringing up chasing carrots. But the reason why we chase carrots is because we want to be at the top. We want to get to the top. We want to have made it. And so it hasn't changed all throughout history. If you have a Bible, look at Genesis chapter 11, and we right in the Old Testament we see this at the very beginning. Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. At one time, all the people of the world, they spoke the same languages and they used the same words. At one time, we all spoke the same language. We all spoke the same exact words. Way back in the very beginning. And as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land. They found a plain in the land of Babylonia, and they settled there. And they began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the sky. This will make us famous. This will make us awesome. People will go, 'Wow, look at you guys. Let's do this. Let's everyone, so everyone can look at us. Let's make this big thing.' Come," he says, "let's let everybody look at us. Let's everybody, we want everybody to go, 'Wow, look at them, they're so awesome.' But the Lord came down, he looked at the city and the tower the people were building." Verse 6 says this, "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible to them. Come, let's go down there and let's confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." Verse 8, "In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world." From the very beginning, that's Genesis chapter 11. And if we go back a little bit, we don't have to go far. We go back to the garden, and in the garden, we got Adam and Eve going, "Man, I want to be the best." The enemy goes, "Hey, he basically said, God's kind of prideful. He wants all the attention on him." And Adam and Eve go, "Well, we want some attention. We want to be a big deal. We want to be a big shot. We want to turn heads. We want everyone to like us." And pride begins to sit in. I had a couple quotes on pride I want to share with you guys that I saw in preparation for this. C.S. Lewis said this, "For pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense." I hated that. It was so good, but it hurt so bad. How can something be so good hurt so bad? Pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. A lot of times when I hear Diana counsel, she always counsels. And when she counsels people, she's like, "I think that this almost every single conversation, is that pride in your life?" She can smell it now. Pride, I smell pride. There's pride in this room. Who let a pride out? You know, like, it's like, she's like, she could sniff it out. She's like, "That's pride. That's pride in your life. You want to be in front of everybody? That's pride. You want to admit that you're wrong?" She's like, "That's pride." Always she counsels around pride. She's like, "I just open it, like, pride." It's just probably pride. When they call her, she's like, "Yeah, it's probably pride. I can just tell it's pride." And she's like, "No, that's just you. I can just." Here's another one that I thought was eye-opening. "With pride, there are many curses. With humility, there come many blessings." You've never met a humble person where you're like, I got to get away. I want to get away from them. They're annoying. But a pride person, you're like, I can't wait to get out of here. It's like, it like sucks the wind out of the room. There's a feeling of angst. "With pride, there are many curses. With humility, there come many blessings." We have this right before I walk up. Oh, this is for me or who it's for, but I think it's for me. But right when we walk up, right when I walk on this curtain, there's a sign that I brought for you guys so you guys could see it. There's a picture. You guys have it? Is it already up there? Is it up there? A thumbs up. Yeah, thanks. Because I know we're not, you know what I'm saying? It's complicated. But that's what I see right before I walk up there on Sundays. Aren't you glad that's up there? Does anybody need to take that home with them and borrow that, screenshot it? Just, and so that was new last week. We've talked about, we got that up there. And last week I brought my tablet and Jamie was playing drums. They took a picture of himself. He made himself my home screen and my lock screen. But now that's my home screen and my lock screen. It's just a good reminder for me. At some point in my life, I realized God doesn't need me to do this. He can do a lot better on his own. He wants to use me, but he doesn't need to use me. He wants to use me, but he could use someone down the street. And it's the humility. It's a privilege. I think it's a privilege to be in the kingdom of God. And there's so much that comes with this. He tells us, hey guys, blessed are the people who are meek, people who are gentle, people who are, I struggle being gentle because if I think you're saying something that's ridiculous, I'm like, that's ridiculous. I have a hard time getting down there and just, I'm not the guy that's going to hop and just love you. Hey, come here, let me help you through this. I'm like, you want to suck it up and get better. Do better. But the Bible says that meek people, they're gentle and they're humble. Humble people are different. And all throughout the scripture, Jesus gives us tons of scripture on this word humility. It's all throughout scripture. Again, I reminded you guys this, but I learned this. I was going through a community group or a Bible study on the Beatitudes, and I was learning all of these things and all these different words for the word blessed, and I'm learning all these things, and I'm like, man, this is all, there's a theme throughout scripture. And the greatest picture of humility was Jesus. He's like, hey guys, I really want you guys to know that it's not about us. Blessed are the meek people. Blessed are the gentle people. The loving people. Like, it's just, it's his opposite of the word. Usually the guy that gets the job is the guy that's the most assertive. The go-getter. The strategic person. All of these things. And so I got some scripture. I was going to read to you guys really, really quick about humility. They don't have it back there. But Matthew 11, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble. Jesus says, I am humble and I am gentle at heart. And if you come to me and you take on my yoke of humility, you're going to get rest for your soul. Your soul is tired. Most of the time I'm with people, the word tired comes out. I'm so tired. This is so tiring. Jesus says if you're humble and you're gentle, you can find rest. But what do? We try to go find rest and we try to go find rest for our own soul. We got this. We go try to go get it. Psalms chapter 37, verse 11. The humble will possess the land, and they're going to live with peace and prosperity. Humble people take on. Humble people, they inherit the kingdom. They inherit the land. Humble people do that. Proverbs 22, verse 4. True humility and fear of the Lord will lead to riches and honor and a long life. Do you want to live a long life? Be humble. He tells us that. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness, that person falls. Every single times. James chapter 4, verse 6, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble people. He gives grace to the humble people. I wrote down this way, pride always causes confusion and disunity. Pride will kill you. Pride says, I'm always right. I wrote down this, take a picture of this, it'll be on screen for you. Pride says, look at me, and humility says, look at God. Look at God. Are you pointing people to Jesus or are you pointing people to yourself? We had a pretty large youth ministry at the first church that we pastored at. We've pastored at two churches, youth ministry, and then we've launched this one. We've only been three churches since we graduated college. And when we left that first church, a lot of those kids left. Because what I realized, I pointed a lot of people to us. And I should have spent all my energy pointing people to Jesus. But good news, quasi fast learner, got to church 2, right across town. We were there for 8 years. First church, 4 years. Second church, 8 years. We've been here for almost 9 years. And I'm hoping to be here forever. Wheelchair, cane walker, front row, making fun of skinny jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I want to be at. And we built a ministry that lasts over there. It wasn't about us. Here, a lot of times you'll see me when there's a week where I'm not preaching, I'm on the front row. I don't even want a microphone. I don't even want to be on stage. Here, if you come here and I'm on an off week, you may see me running sound. You may see me on Saturday because I want to decrease and I want God to increase in my life. I want to be just, if the Bible says if you want to be great in the kingdom, then be a servant. The boy's disciples' mom walked up to Jesus and said, Jesus, who's going to be the greatest? And he's like, the ones who serve, the ones who are humble. Humble people, they remain. So much comes from humility. Pride says, look at me. Humility says, look at God. And then last, pride builds your kingdom. Pride builds your kingdom, and humility builds God's kingdom. It takes a lot to impress me nowadays. I just don't care. Because I'm pretty affixed on the kingdom. I'm like, whatever he says is blessed, that's what I'm gonna go after. I'm gonna chase that down. I wanna go after things that are kingdom, not of this world. Pastor West, look at this thing. I'm happy for you. Fist bump, high five, attaboy, awesome, go God. Look at you, awesome, yes. But I'm more like blown away when I see humility. I'm like, I like him. I used to like people who are like me all over the place, scattered, arrogant, prideful. I used to like that because you like what you like. Usually you like what you are. And now when I see someone who's humble, I'm like, I like them. They seem such like they have a humble spirit. I like humble people. Man, they just seem humble. They're poor in spirit. They're humble. They know how to mourn. Now I'm like, dude, do they have the Beatitudes? If they have the Beatitudes, I'm down. If they don't have the Beatitudes, I'm like, I don't know if I really like them or not. Like, do you have Jesus in your life? Yes, okay, cool. Now that you have Jesus in your life, you should start looking like these things. And if you don't have these things, it's maybe because you don't have Jesus in your life, prevalent in your life. You're not thinking the way the kingdom thinks. You're thinking the way your kingdom thinks and what you want. And if you're building your kingdom today, I want to let you know, it's too small of a kingdom to build. You can be part of building something so much bigger. Your life can have so much more purpose. When I go speak in these schools and serve these young people, I'm like, now this is, I love this. This is right. Like, just serving these guys is what's right. This is building the kingdom of God. This is building things. This is going to remain forever. This is going to last for eternity, forever. Humble people, they inherit all that they need. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Can I ask you a question today? Are you humble? Are you meek? Are you gentle? Is that? I want to invite you to stand to your feet all across the way and bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to take a moment today and let you do an introspection on your life. And just ask God right where you are. Say, God, am I humble? If I were to ask the person next to me, coworker, friend of mine, man, if when you think of humble people, does my name pop up? Just ask that question right where you're at. Would your name, and if you're like, no, Pastor West, I mean, would you just take a moment where you're at and just say, God, I want to be humble and gentle and meek. Because that person, they inherit the earth. Man, I don't know about you, but I don't want it. The Bible says that God opposes the proud. I do not want to be opposed by God. But he gives grace to the humble. That sounds good. I want that. God, am I humble? Am I gentle? Am I meek? If you're not, just ask him. Say, God, I want that. That's how it started for me. God, I want to be humble. I had to acknowledge that I wasn't humble first. And I said, God, I want to be humble. I want people to go, man, he, there's humility there. And it's just so you know, I already told you I haven't arrived. It's an ongoing battle. It's a fight every single day. Sometimes by the minute, hey, it's not about you. It's about God. Hey, be meek. Hey, be gentle. Hey, be humble. Maybe you're not humble today because you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior. The Beatitudes is all about things for people who are in the kingdom. And the way to get to the kingdom is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you're here today and you go, Pastor Wes, I don't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, then you're going to have a hard time with this one, with any of these things. You have the relationship with Jesus Christ. But with relationship with Jesus Christ comes all that God has for your life. Well, Pastor Wes, I have this going on, I have this going on. What we need is, we need all that God has for our life. Chasing things is a dead end. Chasing relationships is dead end. Chasing sports, unfortunately, it's a dead end. The people that have chased their whole life, they've told us that. Chasing academics, it's good. But when you get to the end, like everything that we chase that's not in the kingdom, it's going to come to an end. But the Bible says the kingdom, it never ends. So maybe you're here thinking you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior. The Bible says in the room here, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. He also tells us this, because we've sinned, Romans 6, 23, there's a wage, there's a penalty, and that penalty is death if you've sinned. Complete separation from God. But the good news is that Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that if we confess, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that even though we were sinners, Christ, he loved us, or he commended, or he gave his love for us. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, then you can be saved. And with salvation comes inheritance in the kingdom, comes belonging in the kingdom. So if you're going, Pastor Wes, I've never prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior. I didn't know I needed him. Right now, this is your moment to invite Jesus to be your Savior. Again, I want to say this to you. I'm not asking if you've been to church. I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking if you do good things, because none of those things get you in heaven. One thing gets you in heaven and into the kingdom is relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. I don't care if your mom went to church, your grandma went to church. If you went to church, do you have relationship with Jesus? And the only way to have that is to ask him into your life. So if you go, Pastor Wes, I've never invited Jesus to be my Savior, right where you're at, and you go, I want to ask him to be my Savior, tell him to invite him in my life, would you just, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just go, dear Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner today, and I want to be saved by you. Please come into my life and save me. God, would you forgive me of all my sins? Would you make me a new creature? God, would you help me to follow you the best that I can. Help me to follow you with my life the best that I can, God. Today, Jesus, I'm now your child. If you pray that prayer for the very first time, would you just say, Jesus, thank you for saving me? I woke up this morning, God, and said, hey, be thankful. Could you just thank God for your salvation? Say, God, thank you for saving me today. All across the way, I believe some of you guys prayed that prayer for the very first time, and I want to celebrate that with you. I'm going to count to three when I get to the room. Can I have you just slip your hand up really quick? Just so I can pray for you. I want to celebrate that with you. If you say, Pastor Wes, I pray that with you today. That's me. Ready? One, two, three. Just shoot your hand real quick. Pastor Wes, I pray with you. All across the way. Pastor Wes, I pray with you today. Thank you so much, my friend. Anybody else? Pastor Wes, I pray that prayer with you today. Thank you so much. I'm so happy for you today. Anybody else? Pastor Wes, I pray that prayer with you. Cool. Awesome. Praise God. Maybe you're struggling today with being humble. I want to encourage you today. Say, God, I want to be humble. I want to be humble. I want to invite our prayer team to come forward today. If you're here today, you need prayer of any kind. We'd love to pray for you today. Maybe today you invited Jesus to be your Savior for the very first time, and we want to celebrate that with you. You can come let someone up front know, hey, I gave my life to Christ today. We'd celebrate that with you today. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful today that you came and you died and you rose again for our sins so that we could be in the kingdom. And in the kingdom comes mourning and poor in spirit. It comes meekness and humble and gentleness and humility. And we want that, God. We want that, God. Help us be humble people. Lord, I pray that today we acknowledge our need for humility. And we'd ask you for it today. And your word tells us what we ask you for. You give today, God.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com. Or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.